This is a year that Michigan farmers and growers will not soon forget. One of the wettest planting seasons anyone can remember. Way too much unplanted farmland. A trade war with China. Let's hear how Michigan soybean farmers are faring. Lori Isley is from Palmyra in Lenawee County. She and her husband James own Sunrise Farms, 1,000 acres of corn and soybeans, a five-generation family farm. Lori is the president of the Michigan Soybean Promotion Committee. Lori, can you remember any growing season like this year's?
No, not in our recollection. And even visiting with some of the older farmers in the community, this one was definitely unique.
I've got to figure this has become kind of the benchmark by which other seasons are going to be measured.
We certainly hope we don't see another one like it for a very, very long time.
Tell us what it's been like on your farm. How much got planted and how are you feeling about the harvest?
We're in much better shape than many of our neighbors for a couple of reasons. Our soil is quite a bit sandier in this area that we are, so we got about 90% of our crop in. But we have many friends and neighbors in our community, some of whom didn't plant a single seed, that left their entire farm unplanted because they just couldn't seem to get 2 days in a row where it was dry enough to get in the field.
Boy, that's a big hit. And we're also hearing comments from farmers all around Michigan that even if they did get seeds planted, they're really worried about the quality of what they're going to harvest.
Certainly. The part of the issue, of course, is what happens to the weather from this point on. We've been very fortunate to have some timely rains in August, but even those have been spotty. Parts of the southern Michigan have not gotten those rains as well, but our crop seems to be growing pretty well now. But those crops that went in late, in particular, are going to need a longer growing season. So we're wary of an early frost, because an early frost will stop that growing season, and then you're not only have an immature crop, but you have a very wet crop, and then we have extra money tied up in drying that crop.
Okay, so you certainly have worries about the harvest season weather. When should you be harvesting?
We usually start harvesting sometime in October. Again, it depends a little bit on what the weather patterns are and when they were planted. My guess is this year it might be a little later than that, and our goal is always to be done by Thanksgiving. That does not always happen, but that's generally what we look at is mid-October until Thanksgiving.
All right, so there's been this 1-2 punch. There's been this incredibly wet planting season and the weather issue, and then there's the trade war with China. And I'm wondering, how has that affected you and other soybean growers in Michigan? What do you hear?
Well, certainly soybeans have been hurt harder than many other crops, although it goes across the board. We're hurt. The most recent announcement from China, of course, is that they're going to halt imports of all U.S. ag products at this stage of the game as in retaliation to our newest increase in the tariffs. And what we don't sell as soybeans to China, we were selling. We might have been able to sell through livestock, and of course then the livestock eats the soybeans here. And so without being able to do that, that's kind of an extra hit to the soybean farmers as well, because not only can we not sell our raw product, but we can't sell product that consumes our raw product as well.
What other possible markets are there besides China?
Because there still is a finite amount of soybeans in the world, China shifted all of its buying to South America. Primarily Brazil and Argentina are the two largest soybean producers in the world, along with the United States. And so we picked up a good share of Europe because Brazil ended up sending quite a bit to China. So we do Europe. We also do some of the other areas around China are still pretty big importers of what we grow here. But certainly we've had to scramble a little bit to develop those markets. We've had a long-term relationship with China, particularly with the U.S. Soybean Export Council has worked hard developing relationships there. And they're trying hard now to maintain those relationships in hopes that we will soon see a conclusion to the tariffs. It will be difficult and probably unlikely that we will regain our full market share that we had developed there.
Because it opened the door to other producers.
Right, and not only that, but it gives us a reputation as being unreliable. And so they aren't going to put all their eggs in one basket if they aren't sure that we're going to maintain our reliability as a source.
Lori, have the federal programs designed to assist farmers through these trade problems with China, have those programs helped?
Certainly they help. because they offset what we've lost in revenue from the impact on prices. But every farmer that I know would prefer to have that level playing field for trade. We'd much prefer to be able to grow our product as effectively and efficiently as we know we can and have a product that we can sell to other countries. So we would prefer to have open borders and be able to sell our product to China, but certainly the market facilitation payments have helped because farmers do have expenses, and sometimes we plan on a certain amount of money that we're going to get for our crop. And if that suddenly changes, there are farmers that still have rent to pay and property taxes to pay and machinery to pay for and inputs. There's lots of expenses that go along with agriculture.
And Bloomberg News was writing and digging into these federal assistance programs for farmers and found that 54% of the aid payments went to just one-tenth of the recipients. And then the latest round of trade aid payments at $16 billion, they're tied to acreage planted. Does that mean the bigger the farm, the bigger the slice of government aid?
Because it's based on acreage, then yes. Chances are the larger farmers are going to get a larger proportion of that. They also, however, have more invested and more to lose. But the farm programs are open to anyone that wants to go in and apply for them. It's not limited to certain size farms. If you have a very small acreage, some of the smaller farmers either aren't aware of that option or perhaps aren't taking advantage of it. But certainly the larger farmers, because of the way the program is set up, are going to get larger payments than the smaller farmers are.
Lori, what do you say to someone who lives in the suburbs or cities who thinks, well, gosh, we're sorry for what's happening on your farm, but that really doesn't affect me?
Well, the one thing that you may begin to see if there is a shortage of the crop, you'd be surprised at how many food products you have that have corn and soybeans in them. And the United States has always prided itself on having a cheap food policy. And we work hard to maintain that. Americans pay less of their income for food than almost any other country in the world. And so we want to have that. But I guess more importantly, particularly in this year when so in this area a lot of crops didn't get planted, is looking at what the ripple effect of that might be. Because when we have less grain to take to the elevator, then that means that the elevator needs to employ fewer people. It means that fewer people have jobs and that perhaps the farmers have less money to buy products at their local grocery store or their local hardware store, that there's quite a ripple effect that farmers are really the baseline in a lot of societies, even though we are we're less than 2% now of the population, but they still have an impact because the products that we do means less processing, less marketing. You know, at what point you'll see a difference in your food bill, I don't know what it is, but I think that it's still important for consumers to recognize the fact that there is a ripple effect to what happens when agriculture is impacted.
Lori, how is all of this uncertainty between what the weather may bring and where this trade war with China may go? How does this affect your ability to plan on purchases, to set a budget looking ahead for future planting?
It makes it very challenging to do that. I guess part of it is we've been farming for a long time, so we're more established. You especially feel for the younger farmers that are just trying to get started and most likely have quite a bit of debt and really count on having a good crop year after year for a period of time to help get them started. So we're in a little better shape than that. But you do try and make some planning. We buy crop insurance. That's part of what we do, is make that decision to have that. That's a safety net for us. And we, you know, certainly that's been a critical component of it, so that becomes one of our inputs. We've also made a lot of changes on our farm to limit our expenses. We do as well as do what we think is better for the environment. We use a lot of conservation tillage, so we make fewer trips across the field using less fuel, and we're able to make better use of our machinery that way, and we think those are good decisions. So I think a lot of farmers are looking at cutting costs, areas that things they might not need to have in their planning repertoire for the next year, and trying to make the best decisions we can. And some of them are just kind of waiting to see what they get at harvest before they make those decisions about what they're going to use next year.
Are you hearing of anyone any farmers, particularly in your district, considering getting out of the business?
Not specifically. There was a lot of discouragement and frustration when they couldn't get in the fields there. But farmers are pretty eternal optimists. Every year we put seeds in the field, and every year we hope that it's going to be the best year ever. And I think that resiliency shines through. So unless they were getting close to retirement age and really considering that anyways, I've not seen a lot of circumstances where they're saying, okay, this was the straw that broke the camel's back, I'm out of here. We're just seeing that farmers are saying, yep, we've been dealt a difficult blow here, but next year is another year and we're going to start again and trust that we can get our crop in the ground and harvest a good crop.
And in looking for maybe that silver lining to the clouds, is it good for the soil to perhaps miss a planting season for those who are not able to get a seed in?
Yes, there is some, and the government really promoted the use of cover crops to go in on those fields that hadn't been planted and actually provided some support for people that wanted to buy cover crops. We have a field, we put a type of radish into some of the fields that we were not able to plant as a cover crop, and then those will be then worked down into the soil, and that does add a lot of organic matter to the soil and enriches it. And of course, anytime you're limiting your number of passes with a tractor or equipment over a soil, then that helps that soil to build, it makes it healthier, helps it to build tilth and absorb water better and those kinds of things. So it'll be interesting to see next year if we see some increases in soil health that result in higher yields because of the year that they were not worked.
Perhaps like a little reboot for the soil.
Perhaps.
One final question on this historically wet spring that farmers have gone through. Do you worry this could be the new normal?
That's hard to know. We certainly have had some erratic weather patterns over the past several years, often resulting in periods of really, really wet weather, and then periods sometimes last summer we had about 6 weeks where we had very little rain in the summer. And what you want is some consistency with a periodic rain and a lot of what we call heat units, because corn and soybeans also need a certain amount of heat, and we have had some more volatile weather. We'll have to wait and see where that is. It certainly seems that the weather has become much more erratic in the recent past.
Corn and soybean farmer Lori Isley from Lenawee County. She's president of the Michigan Soybean Promotion Committee. Lori, thanks for your time.
Thank you.